I get hit. It land on your place.
Oh my
God. It didn't land on any cars.
You were on Sequoia, I hope.
And on us. But it was her in that area, so she went to see if she could.
So that's amazing. You were right there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was very loud.
Wow.
Very loud. Yeah.
Oh, you were throwing some boards out around over there.
Say what?
I think they're throwing some boards around over
there. Oh, did you hear it?
I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was loud, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, anyway, she'll be back.
What shall we look at this evening?
There it is, Scott.
Happy to be here. And direct experience. So when I stepped back onto the property, I had a direct experience of just everything kind of, it felt like the whole system going alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here.
Here. Home.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because although there can be an intuition that you've left yourself, left that alignment, that's kind of all abstract and in the head. And it's only when you experience home that you realize how away you've been. Yeah.
It's funny too, isn't it, that you go away and it's as if this ceases to exist. Right? It's just kind of a... And then you come back and it's like, oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the reality.
This is real life, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, and I just see how, not in a, I don't know, it was just a, huh, like what a toll it takes to be that away. Like I love that, so I'm really grateful to be doing the job that I'm doing. I'm really grateful that it's doing what, you know, we need it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love giving everything to that job and like that. And it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as giving everything to something that is so in alignment with the heart that has the effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
And because I was looking at that, is it just sort of the pseudo Zen of, well, if you're here, you could experience here, home, anywhere. And it doesn't seem to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe it could
right.
be. I don't know.
No content.
Yeah.
Like,
the place that I get to though is that almost nobody who prioritizes home chooses to do something dramatically different from that. So you think that the people who could would.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at our great spiritual heroes, they didn't choose that. They didn't choose to go live in New York City,
right.
or even Bombay, or
yeah. It's like, didn't somebody ask the Buddha once, "Well, couldn't you have just done that in the palace?" And he said, "Well, maybe, but I couldn't."
Right, maybe somebody
maybe
could.
Somebody could.
Yeah,
but
maybe
I could.
A better Buddha than I.
Maybe you could find him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Just grateful for the direct experience.
Yeah. And to know that's there.
Yeah.
And that's, so, yeah. And that separation can become, I think it's one of the great difficulties we face as human beings, that separation from ourselves can become quite comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, and we see it all the time, it's so comfortable that people want to stay in that rather than do something that's going to actually bring them more in touch with authenticity.
Yeah, it feels so normal.
Mm-hmm.
All those kind of, you know, this freedom that ego boasts of, like, oh, I can check my emails whenever I want. And it's like the prisoner.
I can check my emails whenever I'm made to. In my head.
And it's like the prisoner boasting about
themselves. Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's like being so, just so clarifying, like there are all these things arising that I want to do in the transition back, like things that I want to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And not from a should, but just a, mm-hmm. I see the difference. And it's not going to be the same as being, you know, in the kind of microscopic training environment of the monastery. It's like, how to replicate that, which is why we have the mm-hmm. monastery. And there
we can get closer.
We can get closer. Mm-hmm. And there just be those things arising of, these are some ways to get closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The world of distraction, it's really, it's rugged. I was, I was writing something today about silence and being aware, being out in the world, the devotion to noise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a little bit isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single thing has to be as noisy as it can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does to the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
To try to make some kind of peace with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a way in which we have to leave ourselves. Because to be completely present to it is, challenging. And again, I suppose there's the place where everything just flows through you. I suppose. But I'm very aware that I'm not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the constant assault on the nervous system.
Yes.
Takes a toll.
Yeah. I can feel that, and I can mm-hmm. feel that, and it's that somehow a razor's edge of aware of the toll, aware of things that I can do to help the nervous system, and mm-hmm. also not being pulled into the oh no, like mm-hmm. I don't want to be here, and
mm-hmm.
And just yeah, but
it's a whole practice, isn't
it?
That's what we say. It's all grist for the mill.
It's all grist for the mill. And, just grateful.
Did you find it?
Mm-hmm. A big limb on an oak.
Oh my.
It's separated from the rest of the tree, and it's just above Mojo, but not anywhere at all near.
But up the hill.
Up the hill from Mojo, almost directly up there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just that was that slow cracking sound. As it,
mm-hmm.
it just parted company with the tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. We've had a lot of rain here in a short period of time.
A lot. In fact, I heard something that it was like months of rain in 36 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Supposedly 10 inches in the mountains and 6 inches in the valleys.
Oh my God.
And the places that were burned,
mm-hmm.
The ones around Santa Barbara, people mm-hmm. had to be evacuated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's just turned into a mud river.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's it called? Why can I never remember it?
Atmospheric
river. Yeah.
That's the what causes.
That's what they
the
call it.
Causes.
And I don't know if I was telling you people this, but I was driving across the valley, and on either side, the sky was kind of a bluish gray, as the sky is. And then right down the middle, it was just as black as ink.
Mm.
Wow.
And it just kind of, I can see it coming.
Wow.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are having the equivalent weather of the East Coast. There's this snow and out here we're having rain.
Yeah.
Oh. So, Scott.
I just hear the matters are.
Mm-hmm. I think they're doing well so far. Although I don't know, Jim's probably more in touch with this than I am, but it is warm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
getting a lot of rain
mm-hmm.
is sometimes rough on the snowpack, but Are they saying?
I don't know. I don't know that if it's, I don't know what the temperature is up in the higher elevation.
Yeah. Here, it was 50 last night.
So nice.
It's crazy. It's kind of nice. I started getting used to it immediately. Scott.
There's two things that are related to this workshop that I've had around around family karma. And the first part relates to Mark, who was talking on our morning retreat this morning about kind of this revelation. I think he was talking about that a lot of things that we may think are me are not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working with a process map that I did around this karma, and then I was doing this assignment with myself this week to do a two-handed recording around the kind of the most challenging voice in them. And of course, you know, around the third or fourth day, it was like, well, there's nothing else to talk about. You know, this is why you make commitments and stick to them.
Yeah. There's nothing else to talk about. That doesn't mean I won't continue to be tortured.
Right.
But there's nothing else to talk about.
I was kind of identified with this again, and then I just saw this completely different, right, like who cares about being identified again? But I saw this completely different piece, which is there's the right hand talking, and then I could sort of, there was the listening, and in the listening I could sort of see what seemed like the person talking kind of in the corner, like this, and they're kind of huddled up in the corner. And then whoever was listening, there was something about, like, I just don't want to be around that person thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've come in contact with before, kind of that ooh, mm-hmm. you know, like get away from.
In one of the books, it's an awful needy thing. It's something like that. It's called.
But what's interesting is, so then there's something that I'm identified with that's standing back and seeing the who and seeing the, even the one in the corner though, I didn't, to me it's like, well, is that ego? You know, and then ego saying who, the ego, and it just started to feel like, is anything in this process except for the experience of watching it real?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sort of like, well, what is the authentic human being? Because to me, the one place that's sort of clear is the place of watching from the, not from an analysis, but from an awareness. I feel like that's kind of familiar. And I guess I do have that light bubbling up even in words and things like that. And I know these are all models and ways of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of similar to what Mark was saying. It was just like, how much of what is going on in my world is just ego talking to ego, and there
really is most of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 99% of it, kind of most of it.
Yeah. Because even when you said it, the term authentic human being can have a flavor of that's a somebody.
Right, because we automatically go to a form, and that means it's a someone.
Yeah, and then, so now I'm going to look for what are my authentic thoughts
mm-hmm.
and authentic emotions. And we kind of feel ourselves sliding down into...
the hungry ghost wrapped around you.
Right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we thought of the, and again, I'm right there with you, these are models. If we thought of the authentic human being as intelligence in form, so more a process, right, than any content.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the quote of not what's seen, but what makes me see.
Uh-huh.
So it's the process of awareness that we're pointing at with the authentic human being, not any of the content of it, not the...
Right, which is where we get lost.
Yes, so that process can think, can have thoughts, right? But the thoughts are not the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So the eyes can see all kinds of things, but the things are not the seeing.
You say that one more time?
Yeah. So we so connect seeing with what we see that it seems like one thing. So if we could picture seeing without anything that's seen, or if we could get a sense of the process of seeing, so the process of seeing is not dependent upon an object of sight.
Uh-huh. Wow. I think that really shifts things a lot. Because you're right, it feels like one thing.
Yes. Yeah. And so the intelligence that animates, the intelligence in form, if that's true, say, just with human beings, if that's true of all human beings, then the karma of that's attached to that particular form is the karma that's attached to that particular form. It's not it's just about a way to talk about this, huh? Yeah. It's difficult to imagine intelligence without objects. So so you can think of intelligence as when you see a thought. Okay, a thought. All right, well, that would happen in intelligence. So now the intelligence is sort of available because I can see that must be what is capable of thinking. So then when there's a feeling, you sort of get a sense of the intelligence because it's what enables feeling.
Boy, it's really tough to step out of the subject and their relationship, just because we're still conditioned to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then when it starts layering on, there's that, and then there is my experience, right? So there's the intelligence, and then there's identification of a separate self, right? So if we more models, okay? So baby is born, pure intelligence that animates. Then baby gets hungry and feels something and cries. Then baby gets fed. They see the experiences are now building. And at some point, there's the illusion of a me that this is happening to, because there's the ability to remember the last time I felt that way, I was hungry. And so, okay, now this actually happens more with toilet training than with hunger, but anyway, connecting the sensations with the action, with the...
Wow, you can just see the construction.
Yeah.
There's the imaginary form.
Yeah.
All made up in a thought, I guess, or a process.
Yeah, and then when we get identified with enough of those layers, now it's me, and I'm this person, and I feel this way, and I do this, and I like that, but I don't like that, and these are my people, and this is how we are, and this is what we do. Now, I mean, we get way up here on the surface of things, and we're concerned about what if somebody got upset with me because blah, blah, blah.
That's interesting, because the other piece was, you talked a fair amount of the years that I've been practicing around how we put so much value on family, blood relatives, way over other people in our lives, and that's sort of no matter the cost.
Often people we like better.
Yeah, no, sort of like at any cost. Over
yes.
Somebody that made me more
yep.
compatible or
right.
actually, you know, request my heart or how.
Oh, like in an email class where you get that, you know, broad view of things, if, depending on what the subject is, that's what people are talking about. Of the relationships that they have with people that they never question whether or not they have to be in these relationships.
Yeah.
And they're miserable.
Yeah. So I had a little place to do that. And what got revealed was how much there was an assumption or a process going on that with my brother, if I keep the relationship a certain way, essentially I'll be okay the rest of my life. Because he's younger, and then, you know, if there's no one else around, or I don't get married, or whatever, have kids, then he'll be there. And
you don't count on the kids thing, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's why I went to Right, they won't think about it either.
They might not.
But I didn't realize how much I was really committed to that.
Uh-huh.
It was just operating and how much it was controlling the relationship until it got revealed with Isabel and Wonder One, and just all that stuff that we've been talking about over the years kind of came through. And I'm able to say even like something that you're not allowed to say, which is, I don't even know if I want to be in relation. I don't know if I want to commit this much energy to someone who makes these kinds of judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean anything, but just that I'm able to say that about family member, there is just this level in that there isn't anybody to count on. Allow me to step into a
There's only one person to count on.
Life.
Yeah.
I mean, and it helped me just step out in a way that I feel so much calmer. I feel way more open to my brother than I was in this conversation.
Yes.
I feel so much more compassion for everybody and myself, and I haven't had the urge to rehearse since that movement. And it's just so counterintuitive to basically step out, let go, and step into groundlessness. But it really, in a way, is more, quote, secure. And I didn't realize how much unease that was creating, because we know something isn't grounding when it's not grounding. When there's so much talk, I just keep this thing with my brother, and we just, and I'll just say it this way, and he'll say, and then we'll get through this, but it's like scrambling on a slippery hillside. You know, making the, and then I have to control more. And just to see you come so clearly, I could just let go. And then I fall into just a broader place.
Yes, because the assumption that keeps us locked in that kind of place that you're describing is that what the only hope I have is doing what I'm doing. If I don't do that, then and what we don't get to see until we get to that kind of place that you're describing is when we let go, we can actually have something.
Yes.
But when we're clinging like that, you don't have it.
No.
He doesn't have it.
No.
Nobody has it.
And
there's just this holding on
that
increasingly, I think, just makes people so miserable that's what happens to the relationship.
Yeah.
Finally, people get to the point of this is just not worth it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't occur to them that what I'm doing isn't worth it, not the relationship isn't worth it. Because you don't even know what the relationship is.
Gosh, I mean, it's just so hard because when you're caught up in that, you're in survival mode. It's survival mode. Like, you can't stop enough to go, wait a second, maybe it's what I'm doing, not the relationship.
Yes, yeah.
I mean,
even
in monastic practice, because it is a place of being able to let go, let go, let go, without distractions around you or something reinforcing. Because, of course, if you talk about those things with people out in the world, it's all content. Every time I've done that recently,
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I'll probably interview you about that before long, because what I'm looking at with the communication book is that people almost never get to communicate. You know, it's this person is on this, living in their little world, you know, and I don't say anything about that because what's going to happen with that? And we just can't do that. And this person is over here, and so there's this weird thing in between that everybody thinks of as our relationship, but it's really just projections and assumptions and hiding out and fear and anxiety and there's almost never a time where somebody says, can I just ask you something? You know, So I've got all this stuff going on that I have to be this way, or else you're going to feel that way, and then you won't love me. And so could we just have a conversation about what's true about that? What a notion.
Yeah, what a notion. I just want to say before anything that other people talk, is I was so grateful for the training when I wrote my brother back, because I could hear you, but I could hear the life in the way that we're trained. You know, kind of how we do a lot of things like yes and, mm-hmm. and using we, and not using a lot of you and I. And it was calibrating me in their writing. It was like the blood dots.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched those little places where I want it, and then just let it.
And then
Scott ends up like telling him he's wrong. And then just that washing away, and then just going back to the language, the way we talk, and just lots of reflecting, and just mm-hmm. curiosity, and clarifying.
Yes.
And it was the biggest gift to myself ever. You know, I mean, I don't know how he's going to receive it, but it was awesome for me. It's like, that's where I want to live, no
yes.
matter what happens.
Right,
you know?
Because the thing is, with this guy, we think of him as your brother, but this human being, mm-hmm. you know, really to have a conversation with, now, see, the thing I can't really do with people, but you people all know it. So, you know, you say, you know, I've got all this stuff going on. It's really making me miserable. I'm not sure that any of it is what you want. So could you just tell me what would make you really happy in our relationship? I mean, how? Because I would really like us to have a good relationship. And if he said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I've never really liked you. Then you go, no.
Good to know.
Good to know. Exactly. The years that I have just saved. Right? And that's people's worst fear. Mm-hmm. That they're going to make themselves vulnerable and put it out there, mm-hmm. and the person is going to reject them. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, good.
Yeah. Oh, that's so freeing.
Exactly. I'm going to go find a better person to be in a relationship with. I mean, we don't have to say that to them. But, you know,
who wants to? In that way.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no judgment on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So all of this fear that if I'm actually how I am, I'll be rejected.
Gosh.
Oh, what a load of.
We're being rejected, right? The worst thing.
Constantly.
Is right there.
Yes.
There's nothing out that can happen in that conversation that's worse than what's going
nothing.
On.
Nothing. Nothing.
What I fear is happening, right?
Constantly.
It's
yeah.
Like, well, I've currently survived this, so what else?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't go for it?
Yep. Okay, that was giving me another chance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here it goes. There. Yeah. So, I mean, you have all those groovy facilitation skills.
It's like I was just saying, it's just amazing. And it's amazing that the skills are there, but then I also have the practice for them to be available. Because you can have the skills, but if you're all torqued up in the same conditioned mind, it's not going to work.
That's right.
It doesn't come from the right place.
That's right. And the main skill that you have with the facilitation is you can't be there and actually be there for that other person, which is a gift even to family.
Yeah. And to bring this back to the... These are all egos, you know.
Exactly.
So you just get, you're not invited, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the gift for me and whoever you're talking to.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to lose, because if you are authentically who you are,
mm-hmm.
that's the best you're ever going to get.
Well, that's how I feel to that process. Like,
mm-hmm.
wow, this is the best. I mean, I feel like I've done the best. So that I feel free for whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. You just say that when you don't know what it is, but I feel.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. Because until he says, I don't want to be in a relationship with you, which we doubt he's going to do.
Very doubtful.
You just keep You know, so he has his experience,
yeah.
And you find out about that, and you ask about that, and what is that like, and, I feel this way.
Yeah.
So I can see how, because I'm looking at it this way, and you're looking at it this way, and no wonder when intimacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jen. That was really helpful. And what?
Yeah, you're getting ready to go on a big trip.
Oh yeah. You know what? I was like, I am.
Maybe you're not. You want me to remind you as it gets closer?
No, I am. Yeah, it's fascinating how that workshop is just going right along, but actually that's helpful. Thank you. Because the thing that I was looking at when I was listening to that last conversation is that I had an experience where I was visiting some family, I don't know, whatever that was, a couple of months ago, and for me it's just awkward, it's stiff. I feel that's how it feels for me. And at one point in the visit, I called that out for myself. I said something like, because I'm in the kitchen and it's just like this, what do I, like, do I help, do I not help, do I, you know, just kind of that whole thing.
Where's the note?
Yeah, exactly, right. And kind of that place where, like, in theory, you know, like, I'm your child, so this is sort of my house, but, I mean, clearly not, but, you know, just that sort of thing. And I just said it. I said, you know what, I realize I'm a little bit awkward because, you know, dead silence. So I was like, okay. So I just kept.
Well, that was awkward.
Exactly.
A minute ago, I thought it was awkward. This is actually at a new level.
That would have been really good. That would have been mastery. But you know, the thing is with this particular dynamic relationship is that it's all fine. Right, and I mean fine in the cardboard Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's also fine in the big picture. It's all fine, right? Mm-hmm. But it's fine. And that's always been part of the deal from, like, well, actually, so with my dad, it's always been part of the deal. That's just how he manages. It's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. But with the whole dynamic, it's been that way for, I don't know, whatever, the last 30 years or something. It's fine. You know, just let's just put a lid on all that. We just, none of us, no one wants to go there.
Under the rug.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at that during the time.
And so what happened after that? Nobody ever said anything?
No, nothing.
Nothing. So you were just left to be awkward.
Well, I didn't ask them anything in particular, I think. So I think they answered maybe the content question.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so.
The
filter's
over there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's stuff like this, like, you know, I go to put my teacup in the microwave, and it's like, oh, that can't go in the microwave. You know, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize that. You know, that kind of. But then it's like, back right off. No more, you know, that sort of thing.
I mean, it's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the dynamic completely. No. I mean, it's totally fine. It feels fine. It really does. It feels fine. So anyway, I was looking at having such a workshop of watching what I chose to say and what I didn't choose to say and what I chose to kind of encounter and not, you know, just what was my part of it, because of course that's the only workshop we're ever having. And we had a group soon after that where it was a Thursday night, we were in here. Yeah, yes, it was. And you told a story about learning, this is what I heard, the lesson at a very young age, never to leave someone you love without telling them how you feel. And I was that had a very strong impact on me. And I just, it's so true. And that reality that we can love someone and all of that stuff goes on. And so I wrote a communication that just came out of this, you know, and I basically just said, you know, gosh, here's how it is for me, and I don't know if it's like that for anybody else, but that's all right, and, you know, I know that I mean, in my mind, I was just completely owning my experience and saying that that's all right, and, you know,
it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. And kind of that, I love you, and you're important to me. You know, that's that kind of thing. No response.
Wow. Yeah.
And that has been a very informative workshop. And so I have a phone call coming up. And so I'm going to ask, just kind of in that, I'm just curious.
Yeah, rather than assume that you're just blowing me off, did the letter get to you?
Exactly.
Was it intercepted? Did you read it?
Right.
Wow. Yeah, and that's one of those, we might as well know.
And what I've really gotten to see is how it really is all for me. In the sense of, if there was any...
What was in there? I think I just committed a felony.
I need that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long word.
It's fine.
Really?
It's gone now.
You know, that might have been the best thing for it, really. We know,
right.
Right? We don't know.
That's what Margaret and Sri Rasesh, I think, said. He put forth that idea that if you eat a creature, you're helping it to... No, that wasn't him. It was somebody else.
Oh, to go on to the...
Yeah, to go on to a better place. Just so you don't go with them.
It's a duper.
Yeah, and that's that place of, again, I'm trying to get to it in the book, but to do enough work ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
So that whatever they say...
Or don't. Yeah.
Exactly. You'll be fine with it. You're doing it for you.
Exactly.
You're doing it for your edification.
Yep. And what was so funny about it is it never in a thousand years occurred to me that it would be taking anything but, like, I don't know what I thought, but I even recorded the communication. I thought, gosh, this is such a gift for me, you know. Recorded it. It was so, and then to get no response was like, oh, wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that place of that's such a good check-in to see that it was just kind of a, oh, wow. And not, which was how I realized it was for me, because there wasn't like a, no, I'm going to say this, and then that's going to get this reaction, and that's going to put it back in the way I want it to be. And it really wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, which is why you can be in a very let-go place about it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting that you brought up the other workshop, because I think what I really see there is there's way more investment was the word in this other relationship. But what I mean by that is I'm much more inclined to be willing to really, I don't know, get in there and whatever in this other workshop, because I project there's on the other person's part, there's also that just so much willingness to
have a good relationship.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that, not that it isn't hard, and not that things don't come up, and not that, but I think probably for both of us, there's really a sense of excitement and absolute, complete eyes wide open that anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that knowing that's all part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's another point in the whole thing. The idea that it has to go well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the way it was just coming today is... I have to say it, and I have to say it perfectly.
Mm.
And if it doesn't go that way, then
yeah.
Okay. Even though we've all survived countless situations where it really didn't go well, and the relationship chugged right on.
Yeah.
But the idea that that kind of you only get one shot, mm-hmm. when in fact, you know, anything can happen, mm-hmm. and everybody goes to their neutral corner and
exactly.
calms down and
yeah.
does a little recording and listening and yeah. comes back and tries again.
Yeah. Yeah, I even have this little fantasy of, you know, I sometimes will play with identification games where it's like, oh yeah, there's that one, you know, bingo, you know, three in a row or whatever. But you could do that.
Three in a row in one afternoon. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Score.
Record. Yeah.
It completely shifts around the relationship of that's not supposed to happen. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I realized you could do that in a relationship with someone who is really game. Because there's a karma that happens in relationships. The same things will happen, cycle through over and over and over, and you both completely know it. Mm-hmm. So if you were really game, you could be, oh, okay, what should we call this one? And then you get like five or six, and then uh-huh. in the course of a day, oh, that's the uh-huh. apple one.
And the first one to get through all of them gets a prize.
You know? I mean, really, it has the potential to shift in a big hurry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll report back.
Yeah. Rebecca.
Well, this conversation is making me aware of the workshop that I had when I was last in with family, and the miracle that I experienced there with my sister, the oldest sister who had been very, I don't even know how to finish that sentence, but hadn't gone really well since I've been here at the monastery.
Was it going well before that?
Not too.
But this was just the perfect excuse.
I think that's the phrase from bad to worse, which fits there. And we had an absolutely lovely visit. And I was even staying at her house for a couple of the days. I mean, like long stretches of time. And I looked at it, and then I kind of hadn't looked at it until this conversation, but looked at what was the difference, what happened. And there were, for one thing, we had something to focus on. We weren't just sitting around, you know, all the time. Although there was a fair amount of just sitting around and talking and stuff, but we had a project to work on together, so that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that I noticed was that I was comfortable just being the way I was, even with the projection of how that might, the projection, because I have no real reason to think of how that might be affecting her.
Mm-hmm.
So the people pleaser part of me just didn't show up. It just really didn't show up. And I got to see her in a way, in her life, in a way that was so clean.
Mm.
And I could see what a lovely person doing just really nice things and lovely things with her life, and it didn't have anything to do with me in either way, you know. And she also seemed to come at me with a fresh curiosity, acceptance even,
mm-hmm.
that just hadn't been there.
And what do you think happened? What do you project happened?
It was when you were talking with Scott, it was that when we grasp, we can't have anything, and when we let go, we can finally have something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we both, I project she, and I know I, have let go.
Uh-huh.
I think the time from when I started this workshop, when I moved here, to now, has been a huge letting go of that very thing that y'all were talking about. This,
mm-hmm.
this notion and this these beliefs that all of this means something, and I could not, if my life depended on it, pinpoint any more than you can when something just wears away. Where did it go? When did it go away? Well, it's being worn away.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that's what happened.
Acceptance. And it's hard to know, isn't it, how much your acceptance of yourself, I mean, it's one of the, we could make ourselves crazy mm-hmm. trying to figure out, was it me? Was it her? Was mm-hmm. it, when did, how did, but your relaxation, your acceptance, your comfort with yourself, whatever it is.
Yeah. Something that's driving.
That's the only thing you know. I mean, she could have been fine all along.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, actually.
We can think of it that way. But she could have been.
Well, you know, what's just dropping in is something that happened 2 visits ago where we were both visiting our Aunt Jenny and it was her 99th birthday.
Oh, gosh.
I know. So cool. This woman is so cool. And so my sister and I, the story is that the flowers came, and anyway, I was talking to her maid, and my sister and brother and Aunt Jenny were oohing and aahing over the flowers that had been delivered. And the maid and I were in some kind of a conversation, and she was, you know, she was talking kind of intimately about some things that she cared. Anyway, she was kind of crying, the maid. So unbeknownst to me, you know, everybody goes their way, and my sister comes and tells me later, 2 days later, about when she's so upset about the life I've chosen and why I'm not there for them, and she said, we need you. You were talking with that woman for 5 minutes and she was crying. She was so moved by blah 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 blah, and she said, why, we want that, and you just took that away from us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And you could have made it about you if you wanted to, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That she was judgmental toward you, or
oh, yeah.
angry or resentful or whatever it was, and she just missed you.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I feel is that she really misses presence.
Mm-hmm.
What she was projecting on me was presence.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even knowing me. It's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get that, it engenders so much compassion for us all.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like she's found a bit of that for herself in the interim.
I think she has. Yeah. 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 So, like, you know, like the conversation that's been happening tonight, I've just been going to that place and of such deep gratitude for so simple, but practice works deeply mm-hmm. in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And monastic practice especially, I gotta say, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, what Anna was saying about the line, everything lining up, made me remember, I was listening to some old recordings, really old recordings, or I'm not really old, actually about 5 years or so ago, and we were talking about the privileged environment out in the world, you know, and we did that workshop with the facilitators here, and it was just so much fun, you know, and to listen to those recordings, and that's just it. It's like, boy, if we could bottle this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm. We were just talking about that on Tuesday night, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Was that on Tuesday night? Where were we talking about that?
Mm-hmm. At center?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, pain is something that you should have all your life.
No,
so it's not such a shock when it happens. I think you could train up. Don't you? You're used to it?
Probably not.
At any rate, somewhere we were talking about it, about, yes, it was, the difference between privacy and secrecy.
That was the
privileged environment conversation.
Yes. That was
that out in the world, people do feel like they need to be secret.
Yes.
We have the privileged environment, and
yeah,
we have privacy, and we stay away from those places where personality just wants to ooze in there and cause suffering.
We were talking a bit like that on the Conscious Compassionate Action coaching call today too, just about how the privileged environment is just the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those places that don't have it, it's just so unfortunate, the places that we can get to when we don't mm-hmm. endure that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful conversation. First of all, I've been having an experience of just knowing that, gosh, there really just is nothing but love. And
can you hear?
All the stuff I've let get in between myself, loving this human, and also everyone that's entered into my life.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's totally nuts. It really is. When we see it for what it is,
yeah.
It's crazy.
It's so,
because yeah. Most of it is spinning, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Beliefs.
Beliefs, opinions that have nothing to do with anything. It's just some weird acting out that has nothing to do with reality. And if the only thing that's real is just the love mm-hmm. for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And
right there? Because I think we could actually end that sentence before for each person.
Mm-hmm. Just okay.
That you just stick with the love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like it's when it becomes for each person that we kind of get in trouble.
That's true.
We take it out of the unconditional and
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
kind of start narrowing mm-hmm. down, and then it gets.
Yeah. But it doesn't even have to be. It's not even attached to persons.
Mm.
You know, it's just that. It's just that love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is connected to it. I feel like I had a recent experience of finding someone that had been an aspect of the personality that had been at the bottom of the well for a long, long time. And just having that experience of acknowledging that aspect, something just got healed, it feels like. I didn't have to do anything with it, or, you know, I could just.
But you also no longer had to deny it or protect
exactly.
against it or keep it in the bottom of a well or.
Yeah. You know, I guess there was a belief that, okay, if you dig down and you find something down there, then you have work to do. No, but that's not. It just opened. It made love even more accessible. It feels like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the big lies that really does keep an awful lot of people in suffering. That there's this awfulness there. Mm-hmm. There really is something wrong with me. It's just so deeply hidden. I can't quite get to it, but I know I'm sure it's there. And then you get to one of these really deep places, and there may be somebody there who was sad about something, or traumatized about something, or upset about something, and then you say, "Oh, gosh, it's okay, and everything is okay."
Yeah.
And where did all that work go that I was going to have to do? All that trauma I was going to have to relive.
Yes, I remember you saying that before. Just, you know, that just getting here, everything is healed. Mm-hmm. And, but there still is this belief, but there probably is something really, really wrong here.
Well, and of course, now we're full circle, right? Uh-huh. Back to who has an investment in continuing a problem? Then, well, now we've just seen that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
That there's just love and everything is fine. Well, but what if, no, it can't be that easy.
Yeah.
We have to wonder, well, not very long, but we could be pretty sure that somebody's got an axe they're grinding.
Hmm. Yeah, the radio show was really powerful this morning. I always say, this year, wow. Like you say, every year, can we get...
and 3 weeks in, people who just were pretty convinced that nothing was going to top last year go, well, I think this is going to be better.
It's pretty... It's cool that, you know, a lot of people that did it last year are doing it this year, and then, you know, it's like, wow, where is this going to go?
Mm-hmm. And how many people we've heard from already this year that we've never heard from before?
Oh, yes. Yes, from around the world.
Yeah, from around the world.
Yeah.
Good.
And, but just the talk.
It's so long ago, though, I can't, I've been sitting there wondering if anything from this morning was going to come in. I do remember Mark.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that, you know, just that, and I can't, you know, who knows what Mark said, but, you know, what, just what I carried away is just that, I don't own this. I don't own this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own it. You know, and it's here to just let life flow through it.
And you can just love.
And I can just
and appreciate.
Not I anything, but I can just be in the experience of what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just that love. Mm-hmm. And I get to witness, I don't know how to talk about it, but, you know, just being witness to that love. Mm-hmm. or... it can be just used for hateful ends.
Yeah. Those really are the two choices, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that it really is. We're either conscious, present, here, everything is fine, unconscious, identified, in suffering, miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems to be.
I think it's very complex on this side. Right? Just all the endless content and the endless on this side. But over here, it's just present, love, fine.
So, yeah. So that was the gift this morning, just a greater sense of that.
Mm-hmm. And then, did everybody see this evening when you were outside when the rain stopped and the sun came out and the woo?
It's like a movie set, you know, when it does that. It's just that, like, how can that
be?
Yeah.
Kind of, you can't take it in.
No. Mm-hmm. And the sunset, we could see that the colors were just
outrageous. The last time, it must have been group last week, when what the heck were we doing that I was here? Maybe it was when we were down here working. Mm-hmm. And the whole place was gold. Yeah. Did anybody see that
one?
It was like somebody had a gold spotlight.
Yes.
Every tree was gold. Every
Oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and I just have to say one other thing about the project. I mean, the how you do anything, how you're doing 100 people in the queue.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, I just.
Yeah, and you know, last year it stayed up close to that number all year long. Almost every day there were those kinds of numbers. And it's funny because once the queue thing got started, actually more people jumped in because that became the thing to do the queue practice.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Pretty fun. Thank you.